Exodus chapter 9, verse number 20, the Bible says, "He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. And God, thank you for these guys being here, Lord. We do ask that you would bless our group that's down south, Lord, that you would bless them in a tremendous way on their trip, that you would work on each heart. And God, make them more like you. But God, we need your touch here as well. And God, I pray you would please, God, help each guy to tune in, to listen on purpose, because they want to learn about you and be more like you. And God, I pray you please give me the help that I need to preach this. God, I pray you would be glorified and honored with what is said, that you would be pleased with it. But God, also that these guys would understand it and that it would challenge them, Lord, as Kevin was just talking about, Lord, that we would improve, that we would work on things. And God, that we would advance in our Christian lives, Lord, that's so needed. And I pray you would please help us today to grab a hold of something that'll challenge us to be more like you. God, we pray that you would help us to hear your voice through the preaching. And God, please, again, make us more like you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. And thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Lord, I know that you love these guys, Lord, and we're glad they're here. We love them. We want them to live for you with their lives, Lord. I pray you would help them to make those decisions today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. Guys, around here at our church, you hear much preaching and much is when it comes to lessons and instruction and teaching. We hear a lot of it. I mean, whether you're in the junior boys, you're in teen class, you're in main church, we have activities, we have conferences. Most of you guys know about those things. You hear a lot of it. You know, guys, listen up, though. My question is this, though. Does anything ever change according to what you hear? I think that's something we need to think about, something we need to consider. Because if not, we can just kind of hear it. We can just set through it and say, yeah, that was good. Like, okay, he threw a lot of information at me. But does anything ever change? Guys, the Christian life is not just coming to church and soaking it in and being a sponge. That's a needed part because we don't know what to do unless we learn it, right? But our lives need to change. And that's why I think, Kevin, a lot of times there's a disconnect. Guys, come to church and you're decent guys. And that's great. You learn, you hear these things, but I wonder if that ever gets plugged in throughout the week. Guys, if I come to church every Sunday and I'm soaking it in at church, but then my attitude doesn't change, my relationship with my parents doesn't improve, I still have wrong words coming out of my mouth, I'm still listening to things that are worldly and wicked as far as music, as far as entertainment. Hey, what's going on? Something's not connecting here. And guys, we don't want to be like that. You know what that means? As Kevin was talking about, we're not growing. We're just stuck. In fact, we're probably moving farther away from God instead of getting closer to him. Yep. So we hear a lot of preaching, a lot of lessons, a lot of instruction. But does anything ever change? I just started into the message, but I hope you stop right there and think about that. Take it personally. Look inside your own life and say, does anything ever change according to what I hear from the Bible? Mm-hmm. And guys, I don't mean that because I'm so wise because I'm not. And when other guys preach in the class, they do a great job. But it's not that, Kevin, it's not that we want people to change because you said it or I said it or Tim said it or whoever. That has nothing to do with it. It's got to go much deeper than that. But does anything ever change? Now, if not, guys, the reason may go much deeper than you might think. Some guys think, well, okay, yeah, I didn't. But, you know, it's not that big a deal. Whatever, dude. I just didn't have time, blah, 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 blah. Can I tell you it goes a lot deeper than that? And that's what I want to get into today. Here's the message today, guys. Here's the message I want to preach to you. Does it move you? Does it move you? All right? In Exodus chapter 9, I'll read verse number 20 again, and then I'll kind of back up, and we'll start from there. It says, "He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses." Okay? So does it move you? First of all, I want you to consider this, guys. There's a message that was heard. Go back to verse number 13 and we'll kind of get a running start here. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve thee." And then I will drop to verse number 18. It says, "Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. Guys, first of all, we're talking about the message that was heard. Can I tell you guys, it says in verse number 13, this came and it says, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. Now, the physical person that was speaking was Moses, and he was speaking and preaching to Pharaoh. Okay, pay attention, guys. Pay attention. This is important. All right. The physical person that was speaking was Moses, and he's speaking to Pharaoh. But can I tell you, it went a lot farther than that. It went a lot deeper than that. And it's much more important than that, because, you know, ultimately where it comes from, it comes from God. He says, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. You know what that tells me? Moses didn't think this up himself. He didn't have some crazy dream. He didn't hear some podcast back in the day in Egypt. So, you know, they had some pretty good ideas. No, guys, he got this from God directly. And he's saying, this is what God said. Hey, guys, can I tell you, when we open the Bible, when we preach to you, when we teach to you, when we give you this instruction, guys, you know what it's all about? It comes from God. The source is God. Hey, guys, is that important to you? Kevin, if we're not talking about God's word at church, we're wasting our time.
Yep.
It should mean so much to us that it comes from this book. My opinions can be wrong. Okay, yep. People out in the world, the news, the sports, the celebrities, all this, they can be wrong. Can I tell you guys, every word of this book is right. It's never wrong. It's never mistaken. There's never an error. There's never some flaw that's found in there, guys. Why? Because it comes from God. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for us. Bible says they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Guys, every word of this book comes from God. Now, the source is the Almighty. It comes from Him. Now, does that mean anything to you? Guys, if you're a Christian, it should. Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There should be a different reaction that we have when we hear God speaking to us as opposed to people out in the world. Guys, I don't expect people in the world to care about it, to be invested in it, to have a desire to learn it. It's meaningless to them. Is it that way to you, though? The source is the Almighty. He's saying this comes from God. He's saying, listen, and put yourself in Moses' shoes for a second. Uriel, I would not want to be Moses showing up to Pharaoh. Pharaoh already doesn't like him, hates him, has oppressed the Jews for years, hundreds of years. Okay? It's been a terrible situation for them. Can you imagine the pressure that Moses feels? He's standing before the most powerful man in the world and telling him a message he does not want. But you know what? It wasn't Moses' message. It was God's. It ultimately came from God.
Yep.
And Moses was sent on an assignment. We go back earlier in verse number 13, and God's telling Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. He's saying, I'm sending you on an assignment, and I've got a specific audience. That audience was Pharaoh and his servants. Guys, can I tell you? Me and then the other guys that preach around here and teach to you guys, may it always be like this, but let me just teach you a little behind the scenes stuff. We don't just preach to you something that you haven't heard in a while and try to keep it mixed up and varied. And, you know, Selwyn, if you heard about prayer last week, I don't want to preach on that again. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not just trying to make it new and fresh. Now, hopefully it is, but that's not our intent. It's not just something cool that we heard this week through internet or through radio or through podcast or through television or whatnot. Guys, that's not it. It's not that we've collected all the best ideas of all the religious people around that we know and we accumulate those together and present those to you. It has nothing to do with that. You know what it's all about? Is that we go to God individually and say, God, I need something for this class today. Listen, guys, this has happened hundreds of times with me and I'm nothing special. But I get down on my knees and I say, God, I need something for these guys tomorrow.
Amen.
And guys, many times I've named your names to God and say, Lord, what does he need? What does he need? What does he need? Can I tell you something? Because I don't know. Guys, I'm very limited in my knowledge. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been facing. I don't know what struggles may be going on behind the scenes in your life. I have no clue. But you know who does? God does. God knows. And God can give me the message from the word of God that'll help you. This is what Moses is doing. He has a message that comes from God. God is the source, but he's sent on an assignment. God said, hey, Moses, get up early in the morning and go to Pharaoh and preach to him and to his servants and tell them what I say. God, guys, may it always be that our preaching is God-directed and God-controlled and God-guided. Listen, we don't need you just to come up with some cool jokes to make people laugh. We don't need just a cool lesson. People say, dude, that outline was tight. We don't need anything like that. We need something that comes from God. Not the best thoughts that we have, but the message that comes from him. That's what changes lives, and may it always be that way. He was sent on an assignment, had a specific audience, and the spoken announcement. He said, Moses, you show up to Pharaoh, and you show up at this particular time, and you preach it to him. Hey, guys, when we're preaching, Kevin and Wes a couple weeks ago, me, you guys, and Ethan, we were talking about it. Teaching, guys, teaching is good, but teaching is more just take it or leave it. I throw it out there. If you want it, great. If you don't want it, so what? I'm just putting out information. That's what teaching is. You know what preaching is? Preaching, yes, it's teaching you things, but you know what it also is? It's saying you've got to do this. There's an urgency about it. There's a thrust behind it. There's an intensity to it that teaching does not have. Guys, preaching saying, guys, you see this is true? Yes. Now, what are we going to do about it? And it forces us to put some action behind it. Hey, guys, this message that they heard was from God. It came directly from him. He is the source. And guys, can I say this? Actually, time out. Let me ask you something. God is going to tell Pharaoh and his servants that there's going to be punishment and a plague that'll come down on them. And there's some details we're going to dive into about that. Let me just ask you guys. Let me open it up to your thoughts. Why did God say that? Seems like a weird question, but why did God say that? It's like a fight going on in the hallway. I don't know what's going on. Why did God say that? It's not like overly deep. Don't overthink it here. Why did God say that? Nobody? We're like, somebody in North Carolina will answer. No, they won't. No, they won't.
It's here. It's us, sir.
Any ideas? Nobody's giving me anything, all right? Why did God say this? Guys, can I tell you? Because God is serious about it. Because that's what was going to happen.
Yep.
Hey, guys. This seems super simple and like we shouldn't even have to say it. But guys, can I tell you? God does not say stuff for no reason. God doesn't just throw things out there because he needed to fill up space in the Bible. God doesn't just state things in the Bible because Selvin, he had nothing better to do. You know why God says these things? Because we need them. And God's serious about them. And this counts in our lives. Hey, guys, when God says that you should be faithful to church, that should be important to us. You know why? Because he meant that. God's not playing. He means business. There's a verse in James 4:5 that says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? It's almost saying, do you think God said this for no reason? Of course, the answer is no way. Every word of the Bible is in there for a reason, for a purpose. But my question is, does it affect you that way?
It's good.
God's serious about it. Hey, guys. My son is just over 1 year old. And, you know, this whole parenting thing is still new to me. But, guys, can I tell you? This discipline part of it is something that constantly I got to work at and make sure I keep an eye on with Troy. Now, he's little, but guys, you know, sometimes he's crawling around the house, walking around the house, and he's getting into things that he should not. Now, is it going to be a terrible thing? Is he going to, you know, get seriously injured? Probably not. But you know, Uriel, what my job is now when he gets into some of those things that he should? No. Don't do that, buddy. Don't do that. And you know what, guys? He's still learning this whole obedience thing. He'll look at me kind of like you can see him weighing it out in his mind. Am I going to listen to him or am I going to do what I want to do? Guys, can I tell you, for me, I tell him that because I don't want him to touch that or I don't want him to do that. Or I don't want him to do that particular activity. If he disobeys me, I got to punish him. Okay? I got to enforce it and say, that's not okay. Hey, guys, you know why I'm telling Troy not to do that? Because I mean it. I'm not playing with him. Now, Selvin, again, it may not seriously hurt him, but it could hurt him a little bit. It may be something dangerous. But you know ultimately what I have in mind? Down the road. Because if he doesn't listen to me now at one, what happens when he's three? What happens when he's five? What happens when he's seven and eight? What happens when he's 11 or 12? And Uriel, the things that are dangerous are a lot more dangerous than, hey, just don't touch that. You see what I'm saying? I have to think down the road. Hey, guys, God does not tell us these things for no reason, is what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to teach you. Hey, God says be faithful to church. He told us that for a reason. Yeah. God tells us to stay away from certain things. He tells us to stay away from the wrong friends. He did that for a reason. You know what it seems like, Wes? Seems like some people think God's playing. You know why? Guys, follow me here. You know why? Because God says don't touch that. And we're like, oh, yeah? We play with it. We think he's joking. Listen, Troy's looking at me saying, Daddy seems serious about this. And if he disobeys me, I got to punish him. Guys, and it's going to hurt him a little bit, but you know what? It's for a greater purpose. It's for a greater reason. And sometimes we think God's playing. Kevin, I know I'm not supposed to mess with the cheap girls, but I mean, really, God? Come on. Some people live like that all the time, and we're saying, hello, what's the deal? Guys, that's how it can be very often. That's a dangerous game to play. Can I tell you, God told the Egyptians these commands because God is serious about them. Hey, guys, God wants us to read his word every day, and he's serious about that.
Yep.
God wants us to pray. Why? Because we need to. It's important for us. He's serious about that. God wants us to live a holy life, not like the world. He doesn't want you to cuss like the world and have a dirty thought life like the worldly guys. He doesn't want you like that. Why? Because he's serious about it. Do we understand that? Kevin, I don't, like we're talking about, I don't even understand how somebody can sit through year after year after year after year. Guys, you should not listen to that type of music. And then they go home today and press play.
Wow.
Are we playing? Are we messing around? I don't know about you. When I come in church, I don't hear words like, you know, once upon a time, there was three bears. That's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing from the word of God. I'm hearing the commands of God. I'm hearing that it comes from God. So when at the end of the story, I don't hear, and they all live happily ever after. That's not what I'm hearing. It's not fairy tales. It's not fiction. It's not some little made up story. This is real life. And it comes from God who made us. Guys, what I'm trying to say is God's not playing when he tells us these things, but are we? I think sometimes we are. Oh, Kevin, again, we keep having these conversations in the morning about it. I mean, I know there's some verses about not drinking alcohol in the Bible, but I mean, come on, man. Yeah, it's in there. Why is it in there? Because God doesn't want us to mess with it.
Yeah.
But so often it's like people play with stuff that God says, no, no, don't touch that. You say, yeah. And I'm telling you guys, it's not going to turn out well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that happens all the time. God is serious about it. Hey, guys, if God has told us to tithe, that's serious. We should do it. If God has told us to live holy, that's serious. We should do it. If God told us we should look like men and have short haircuts, we should do it. If God says we shouldn't have tattoos on our body, we should avoid that. Stay away from that. You say everybody in the world does it. Doesn't matter. It's what God commanded us. And God is serious about it. Hey, guys, Do you take seriously when God gives you his serious commands? Think about that. You say, Brother Tom, I know all this. Again, that's great, but does it affect your life? I think most of you guys are good guys, and I'm thankful for that. But hey, none of us is 100% like Jesus, all right? Can we admit that? We've all got room to grow. And what is God saying? God's saying, listen, Pharaoh and Egypt, this is what's going to happen because you have disobeyed me and defied me, and you've kept my people there. Verse number 18, he talks about the seriousness of it. Guys, the severity of this is alarming. And by the way, God sent 10 plagues down on Egypt. This is the seventh out of those 10 plagues, the hail that's about to come down. Verse number 18, though, look how serious it had to get. It says, behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. You know what that's saying? You've never seen anything like this before. That's what the last part of the verse is describing. He's saying he's going to send hail down and it's going to destroy things. This is going to be powerful. This is going to be unprecedented. Can I also teach you something? Not really planned to say this, but can I tell you the severity and the seriousness of things with God it grows over time. If you don't listen at first, just like what I was talking about with Troy, it may be something small right now. It may be something in the kitchen that he shouldn't really get into. It wouldn't really hurt him. Maybe there's a little danger, but it's just not good for him. But as he gets older, Uriel, those things will get much more dangerous over time and over time. Can I tell you the same way with God? Sometimes God will hit us first time with a message. But if we don't listen to that, sometimes he has to bring chastening into our life. If we don't listen to that, sometimes God has to make it more serious and more serious and more serious until I hope at some point we'll get the message. Just what Tim preached on last week. What is it going to take? Does it have to take some colossal disaster in your life in the future to say, man, I better take God seriously? Guys, can I press pause on that for a second and say, listen to God now and you don't have to face that in 10 years from now? Does it really? Hey, I would rather learn from God when he's teaching me in a class like this as a teenager than trying to end up in jail when I'm 25 or 30 and saying, bro, I don't know what happened. What happened is you didn't listen when you were 15.
Yep.
That's how God works with us. And God brought these plagues and God said, let my people go, let my people. And Pharaoh kept hardening his heart and said, no, I'm going to do my own thing. And you see what's happening? It's getting more serious and more serious and more serious. It's getting deadly at this point. He said, I'm going to send this hail down. It's going to be something like you've never seen before. It's going to be horrible. And verse number 18 and 19 is where I'm referring to. But he's saying this is going to come down bad. Verse 19, send therefore now and gather thy cattle, all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field. And he continues on. He's telling them ahead of time. Hey, guys, a lot of times God does that. He tells us ahead of time. Now, for some guys, maybe they've already messed up and fallen into it. But thankfully, the story's not over. You can still get right and take these things seriously, even if you've messed up. God can forgive you. All right? There's still consequences, but God can forgive you. But God tells us ahead of time, hey, guys, do you have some goals not to ever mess with alcohol, not to ever mess with drugs, not to ever mess with cigarettes? You should have those goals now.
Yeah.
You know what a lot of people do when I'm like 19, 20, 21? Then I'll see what happens. If you don't plan not to, you'll probably fall into it.
Yep.
That's what a lot of people do. They're just going to go with the flow. Well, all my friends do it, and it's popular and whatever. And they just bow to the pressure. Guys, make up your mind now. God tells us ahead of time. He gives us advance warning. Can I tell you that's God's mercy? Wes, he could have just out of nowhere, bam, and destroyed the whole place with no warning. But he says, you know what? Tomorrow, it's going to happen. And he gave them advance warning. And guys, you know what it should have done? As I read in verse number 9, he says, send therefore and gather thy cattle. Basically, get everybody out of the field. Get all your stuff out of there. You know what it was supposed to do? Stir them to action. Guys, these are action verbs. He's saying, go send this. Go gather. Go do these things. Get these problems out of there. The message that was heard. This is what God told Moses to say to Pharaoh and his servants. He showed up with a message that came from God. He showed up with a message that they needed to take seriously. Why? Because God was not playing. And it was something that was supposed to stir them to action. Hey guys, when you hear preaching from the Bible, it should stir you to action.
Right.
I keep hammering on it, and some of you say, I know. But do we ever do anything about it when we leave here today? Again, you can hear preaching. Guys, you can give me 5 reasons why worldly music is wicked and wrong, but some of you still listen to it. Some of you can give me reasons, no, we shouldn't cuss because the Bible says this and this and this and this, but we still do it. What good is it if we have all this knowledge, but we never have wisdom, we never plug it into our lives? It doesn't do us any good. It should stir us to action. He's saying, go do something about it. Guys, can I challenge you today? If there's music that needs to go home and get rid of it. If there's friends that need to be cut off out of your life, go home and get rid of it. Guys, take action. Go do something. Don't just sit there. Listen, just hearing it and never applying it will not help you.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you one bit. It doesn't get you one inch closer to God.
Right.
Does it move you? Point number one, the message that was heard. Moses showed up with a strong, a severe message. He's saying, Pharaoh and your servants, God is not playing. God means business. God is serious. And if you want to avoid this judgment, you better take action, guys. If I don't want punishment from God to come into my life, take action. Take action. Again, it's amazing, Kevin, how God fits these things together. But listen, guys, if you want to learn more about the Bible, take action. Take action. If you want to pray more, take action. If you want to be a better soul winner, take action. Do something about it. If we want things to improve, we got to do something about it.
Yep.
Nothing's going to change if we don't work at it, right? The message that was heard. Point number two, the movement that happened. Man, thank God some people woke up. Thank God some people took it seriously. Some people said, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to mess with God. I'm not going to think he's just playing with me. I'm going to take this seriously and I'm going to do something. The movement that happened. Verse number 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Guys, there was movement that happened. These people were impacted. I mean, Tim, this is not talking about Pharaoh. Pharaoh could care less about God. He hardened his heart continually, said no. He would put up a brick wall to God and say, no, I'm not going to listen. But some of the other people around the periphery, Kevin, they listened and they took it seriously. And thank God. That's amazing to me, Wes. I believe the particular audience, the particular person that was in mind was Pharaoh. But you know what, Kevin? He didn't listen. So what? The other guys did. That's a good thing. Hey, guys, sometimes maybe certain people in class that we want to listen, they don't listen. But you know what? If you hear the message, you're in on it too. You're in on it too, man. They were impacted. It consumed their thoughts. It changed their plans. I mean, Selvin, they walked away from hearing Moses preach God's word, not his own opinions, not his own philosophies, but what God had to say. And they said, man, God's not playing. And I better take that seriously. And you know what it did? It consumed their thoughts. Tim, they walked away from that saying, man, I got to do something. I've got to do something. And it changed their plans. They were impacted. They initiated something. Notice verse number 20 in some of these words. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. They initiated. What does that mean? They made it happen. They did what they had to do. Guys, they said, we've got some work to do. And you know what they're saying, Wes? If we don't do something about it, people will die. If we don't do something about it, bad stuff will happen. We've got to initiate this. Hey guys, if you're far away from God, what are you going to do about it today? If you've never led somebody to the Lord, but you want to, what are you going to do about it to start learning? I'm not, guys, my intent today is not to pound you and beat you down and say, how dare you? Because we all struggle. I'm just saying today, we better take God seriously when he talks to us and speaks to us. But number two, what are we going to do about it? These people got moving. Yeah. They didn't just say, man, God seems angry, man. What is going on? And then do nothing about it. They got busy. It impacted their lives. Kevin, their schedule that day, I'm sure, originally was not, hey, we've got to clear the fields. We've got to get everybody inside. We've got to. But when they heard the message, their plans changed.
Yep.
I wonder who showed up to church today thinking about what you're going to eat later and what sports are going to be on later and what you're going to watch on TV and what you're going to do when you get home. But when you show up to church, you hear God speak, not Brother Tom, not the pastor, not anybody else. You hear God speak to you and it impacts your heart. And then you say, when I get home today, I got to do something else. I got to get in my Bible. I got to get on my knees. I got to give out some tracts. I got to do something with my life. Guys, maybe your plans need to change. Again, you guys, I don't think you guys are bad guys, but do your plans ever change when you hear God's word?
Good,
do you take it seriously? Guys, do we really think God is playing? Do we think, Tim, I know God says don't mess with alcohol, but I think I can play with it. I know that I shouldn't hang around cheap girls, man, but man, that's tough, dude. I think I'm going to mess with it a little bit. I'm not as bad as some people, but I can play with it a little bit. Are you playing with God? Can I tell you, those that play with God do not win?
Yep.
And a lot of people do that. And can I tell you, it's sad, but it happens even in church. We're playing Christianity. We're not taking it seriously. We're not taking God seriously. Wes, I don't know about you. If God tells me, hey, tithing, 10% of your income needs to go to God, I need to take that seriously. Kevin, I can't blow that off, man. That's old style. People used to do that back in the day. No, no, no. I am accountable. I am responsible for my decisions, my life.
Yep.
Hey, if God says I shouldn't put tattoos on my body, what am I doing going getting some ink on my body? I can't do that kind of stuff. If God says as a man I shouldn't have jewelry and present myself in a worldly fashion, guys, what are we doing? I'm not beating anybody up. I'm just saying, do we take God seriously or not?
It's good, yeah.
I think a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
They're just playing, dude. It's a big joke to them. Kevin, a preacher can stand up for an hour and wear himself out and preach his guts out. And people say, yeah, he seemed really angry about something. But what are you talking about? I don't even know, man. I just don't like what he said about this and this and this. Did it come from God? I don't know. Well, find out.
Yep.
Does it change your life? Do we take it seriously? Man, they initiated. They made it happen. They did what they had to do. Hey, guys, what do you need to do to get right with God? Does your prayer life stink? Is your Bible reading every once a week or once a month? Hey, guys, that's not good enough. We need to do it all the time.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says be doers of the word, not just hearers. That's why the Bible says draw nigh to God. Listen to these verses from James chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Next verse. Cleanse your hands, ye sinner. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know what he's saying? If you're away from God, that better be the number one priority. And if it takes some sorrow and it takes some heartache and it takes some difficulty to get that junk out of your life and to sacrifice and to put God first, do what you got to do.
Yep.
Hey, guys, can I tell you, do what you got to do. Listen, if you keep clicking on filth on this thing, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself a flip phone. Everybody's going to laugh at me. God won't be laughing because he knows you're taking him seriously.
Yep.
Guys, what is it? What is it that we need to take seriously and cut off? Man, I'm telling you, people play with Christianity all the time. And it's a shame because, Kevin, they're so close to the answer. They're so close to joy. They're so close to the greatest life that there is. But, Tim, they're playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing with it. These people were impacted. They initiated some change, and it was immediate. Guys, can I tell you, they did not say, Brother Moses, that was strong, man. I needed that. You know, I'm going to think it over for a couple weeks and see what happens. And then if I still feel that same buzz, man, I'm going to get my life right. They didn't have a couple weeks. He said, tomorrow, this thing is falling. This thing is dropping tomorrow.
Yeah.
They had to make some immediate changes. They had to do it now. They had to do it right away. Hey, guys. Can I tell you, we need to stop pushing it off?
Yeah.
Guys, throughout the week, I go see guys from my class sometimes that haven't been in a long time, and I'm not beating them up, but you know how the big decisions are made in life, little by little, by little, by little, by little, and then over time, you see what it accumulates to? That's your decision. That's your decision. Yuriel, it's like those balances, and it's like you just drop a grain of sand at a time. And it seems like nothing, right? It seems like it'll never make a difference. But guys, each day, each decision that you're saying no to God, no to God, no to God, you know what? Can I tell you that weighs down over time and that becomes your decision? You just live a life apart from him. Hey guys, what I was saying is I visit some guys and they haven't been in a long time. I say, man, we want you to come back. We need you to come back. We just dealt with some earlier today. And I'm saying, please come back. And they don't come. And Kevin, we think, well, that's just one Sunday. But then that turns into two, then that turns into three, then that turns, they're a whole month they haven't been here, and then it's 2 months they haven't been here, and then Selvin, it's 4, 5, 6 months, half a year they haven't been here. Guys, do you really think they're living for God Monday through Saturday most of the time?
No.
And guys, that hurts my heart, that grieves me to say that, but that's what happens. Why? Because one decision at a time. Hey, they keep putting it off, procrastinating. Tim, one of these days I'll live for God. One of these days I'm going to be a good Christian by the time. I'm going to go after it. Guys, you better make one of these days today.
Yeah.
You better get serious about it now. And notice, again, I showed you some of these words. Halfway through the verse, it says, among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Can I tell you, they were insistent. You know what? There was no arguments. There was no, if there was pushback, they weren't having it. They had to do this. I mean, guys, this was not what they normally did to get all their cattle and their servants out of the field. They would just keep them out there for months at a time. Right here, though, they said, get out and get out now. I'm sure some people scratched their heads and said, what are they doing? Why are they telling us to do this? This doesn't make sense. You know what they said? I don't have time to explain. We got to get this stuff out of here now. And guys, in our Christian life, that has to happen sometimes. They had to do this. They were being pushy. Perhaps people didn't understand. They had questions. Maybe there were obstacles. But they say, you know what? We'll talk about it later. Let's just get this stuff off the field now. They had to do it. They were insistent. They made their servants and their cattle flee, and they were intense. What does it say? They made them flee. What does flee mean, guys? I'm not talking about a little thing on the dog. What are we talking about? Leave, and usually it's in a hurry. Run.
Yep.
The Bible says flee fornication. It does not mean gently scoot one little step at a time. Flee means run as fast as you can. Get out of there. Guys, can you imagine this scene? They're making their servants and their cattle flee. I mean, I don't know if we got whips going on and cows running. I don't know. But this is a hectic, chaotic scene. Would you agree with me on that? Yeah. They're saying, let's get out of here. You know, I'm going to get all cowboy on you. Ha! You know, let's go. Guys, this was intense.
Yeah.
You know what? Because they said, this is serious. We can't play with this. God is not playing. It was hurried. They said, we got to get out of harm's way now. Hey, guys, if you're listening to wicked music, get out of harm's way. God will judge that. God will punish that. If you're half cussing coming out of your mouth, get out of harm's way. If you've been disrespecting your parents, get out of harm's way. Get that stuff out of your life. Win now and do it in a hurry. And I'm sure this was inconvenient. Their schedules had to be rearranged. Space had to be reshuffled. They had to forget what their normal patterns and practices and procedures were. They say, forget that. We've got to change this stuff and change it now. Was it a hassle? Yes. Was it harder to do this than to not listen to God? Yes. But they did it. And guys, one last thing, all right? I'm finishing up. The message that was heard, the movement that happened. Point number three, there was a manifested heart attitude. Manifested heart. All right, we talked about verse number 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Verse number 21. Does anybody still have it open? Can you read verse 21 for me?
And he that regarded not the words of the Lord left his servants and his cattle flee.
Thank you, Christian. You know what, guys? What does that mean? Some people listened, some people didn't. Isn't that crazy? Can I tell you that's how it always is, though? Some people will listen. Some people won't. Guys, about this manifested heart, first of all, it was an individual decision. What's the first word of verse number 20?
He.
He, singular. What's the second word of verse 21?
He.
Singular. You know what it's saying? Each person had their own decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
Each person had their own decision to make. You know what that tells me? AJ, you have this decision to make for yourself, whether you're going to take God seriously or not. Christian, you got this decision. Yuri, you got this decision. I can name everybody in the room. You have this decision to make for yourself. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. Your mom or dad can't make it for you. This is your decision to make. And guys, can I tell you, Kevin, we've talked about this. There's a lot of people that have grown up in church that don't take God seriously. They've grown up in church and they don't take God seriously. I mean, you can see by their lives. They're playing around.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you know what that tells me? Being in church is great, but your heart has to be right with God. And I'll explain what I'm talking about here in a second. The individual decision. Can I tell you, all around them, there was inundating defiance. Hey, guys, what was Pharaoh like? Was he a nice guy, godly guy, love the Lord, wants to serve God with all that? Yeah, total opposite, right? You know, the first time Moses shows up to him, he says, hey, God said, again, that's so important. God said that he wants you to let my people go. Let the Israelites be free. You know what Moses said? Or what Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Guys, can I tell you that is the zenith of arrogance and pride and saying, I am the most powerful man in the world. Who do you think your little God is that's going to mess with me? You don't want to play that game, as he found out. But that's how defiant he was of God. Guys, can I tell you? Listen up, I'm almost done. But can I tell you, all around us, it's defiance against God. It goes on all around us. You go to your public school, they're defying God. Hey, guys, when you walk into your public school this week, are people going to be praying in the hallway? If they're praying, they're probably praying to Allah, right? You're like, well, Tom, there's like nobody in my school that does right. They're smoking weed over here, and they're drinking over here, and a guy and a girl are getting all crazy over here. It's everywhere, and somebody else is pounding filthy music. And, well, Tom, it's everywhere. Yeah, I know, guys, and that's how the world is. It's not just in public schools. It's everywhere. There's surrounding defiance. And you know what the effect has on our lives? Selma, I hear that all the time. You know what it makes me think? If I'm not careful, if I'm not reading my Bible, well, everybody else does it. It seems like they get away with it. I guess I can do it too. I mean, I won't be as bad as them, but I mean, if that guy's cussing like a sailor, is it really that bad if I slip up every once in a while when I get angry, which is no excuse? You see what I'm saying? It can affect our thinking. Kevin, that guy's 16, 17, and he's touching his girlfriend and getting all crazy, doing, whoa, whatever. Why can't I do a little of that? It'll affect us if we don't watch it.
Yeah.
The individual decision, the inundating defiance, it was all around and it was surrounding them. And guys, we hear it on the TV and internet and everywhere out in the world, man. People don't care what God says. There's some verses I could dive into to explain that, but I don't want to spend a lot of time with it. Guys, we can hear by what the world says that they don't fear God.
Yep.
We can see by what they do that they don't fear God. Psalm 36:1, Psalm 12:4 are good verses to back that up. And guys, let me open it up to the class, and my leader guys, please don't answer this. But what is the difference between the two? Why did one group of people listen to God and the other did not? It's right in the verses 20 and 21. Why? Why? Probably in the first line of verse 20. Give you a major hint. Why did one group listen to God and make such drastic choices and the other one said, I don't care. Why? There you go. That's the answer. That's the answer. Guys, and I could get into a lot of what the fear of the Lord is talking about. Tim mentioned it last week too out of the book of Proverbs. But can I just give you a quick one? What I think fearing the Lord is all about, taking God seriously.
Yep.
Taking God seriously. The imperative determiner. You know why one group, Kevin, they heard the same message. Moses didn't switch it up for them. He didn't change any words. These two groups, they heard the same message from Moses that God said. One group got busy. One group went out of their way, stressed themselves out, went out to those fields, drove all these people and made them go in. I mean, there's cattle fleeing and running. There's servants that are out there. This is intense. We got to do this now. We can't put this off. One group is busy doing a bunch of stuff to get right with God. You know what the other group does? Nothing. Doesn't care. This group says, verse number 21, he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. You know what that means? They did nothing. They didn't take it seriously. They thought, man, God's not going to do anything. With one group, fear caused action. Action. You know what it says about Noah? God warned him about the flood. And it says he moved, Hebrews 11:7, he moved with fear and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Uriel, God says it's going to rain. It's going to rain so bad the whole world is going to be flooded. You know what? Noah said, oh man, I better do something now about it. He got moving. Guys, that's why my message is this. Does it move you? Does it move you? When you hear something in church, does it move you to do anything? Bible says, today, if you will hear God's voice, harden not your hearts. These people had foolish arrogance. I'm done with these things, guys. But verse 21, you know, these people, they took God lightly. They heard the preaching. They said, yeah, whatever. And you know what they did? They left their stuff out in the field, their servants and their cattle in the field. They left it. They left it. Tim, it would be way too much work for me to change my music. It would be way too much work for me to stop watching that TV show because there's wickedness on it. I mean, dude, that ain't nobody got time for that. I'm just going to keep living my life, doing my thing. Everything's been smooth to this point. It will just continue that way. And they left it out there. They played loose with God. And you know what? They laughed it off. You know, guys, people that do not respond. Listen. People that do not respond to the word of God, you know what they're saying? I can play with sin and get this. Nothing will happen.
Yep.
They believe that in their heart. Because if you believe what God said will come to pass, you'll do something to change it. They'll say nothing will happen. They blow it off. Selvin, I think I can play with those cheap girls. Nothing's going to happen. I'll be fine. I can mess around with the friends that are not pleasing to God. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I'll be fine. They laugh it off. Guys, can I tell you that judgment showed up? Verse number 23. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail and fire ran along upon the ground. Can I stop real quick? Are you reading this? This event finally happens. God sends thunder and hail and fire. Fire is sweeping across the ground. This is a serious scene. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Verse 24. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail. Very grievous. It means this is how awful, how terrible it was. Such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Again, nobody's ever seen anything like this. It was lethal. And guys, those people that blew it off, those people when you give them a track at your school or at your job this week, they say, dude, I don't need that religious stuff. I'm good. I'm comfortable where I am. And they get all offended by it. They leave their stuff out there. What happens to them? Verse number 25. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and break every tree of the field. Guys, those that left their stuff out there, it was wiped out. It was destroyed. Those people were dead. Kevin, can you imagine making a decision? And because of your foolish decision, you had dead bodies on your hands now as a result of it. That would be tough to deal with.
Yep.
Why? Because they blew it off. Why? Because they thought God was playing with them. They didn't take him seriously. This is tragic. This is horrible. And guys, can I teach you something? It was avoidable. Mm-hmm. This didn't have to happen. This was unnecessary.
Yep.
Hey guys, does it move you? Hey, I know I preached a while. It's probably warm in here, but does it move you? Guys, what you hear? Some of us, we go to conferences, we go to youth conference, we do trips. All those are good. But guys, does it move you? Does it move you? If there's some sin in your life and God says, hey, get rid of that, do you move? Does anything ever change? Are you phased? Does anything ever happen? Or is it just, yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen. Can I tell you it will? And it may not always be with thunder and lightning and bam and shock and awe right in the moment. But the Bible says you reap what you sow. And sometimes day by day, as people are sliding away from God, the consequences show up day by day by day by day. And guys, it never turns out well. You turn against God, you never win.
Yeah.
But you know the whole key to this story? Some people took God seriously, some people didn't. Hey, which one are you today? When God gives you his word, does it move you? Let's bow our head and close.